This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Well, tomorrow's the day in California.
This recall was intended to be an off year, off month election for a reason, because they think you won't turn out.
When I become governor, if there are still state mandates for face masks and for vaccines, they're going to be repealed.
California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom faces a special recall election, only the fourth gubernatorial recall in U.S. history. You just heard Newsom and leading Republican Larry Elder there in their final push this weekend. Newsom has a comfortable lead in the polls at the moment, indicating he might keep his job. But, you know, polls. So that's not stopping him or the National Democratic establishment from turning to its heaviest hitters to rally support for the governor.
Hello, Californians. You've got a big choice to make by September 14th.
They're thinking that if they can get this done in California, they can go around the country and do this.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So former President Barack Obama is rallying for Gavin Newsom. So is current Vice President and former California Senator Kamala Harris. Today, President Joe Biden visits the Golden State to help pull Newsom across the finish line. But will any of that make the slightest difference to one of the state's most powerful voting blocks?
With the election before, everybody was just going to tell you their opinion, and they didn't care what we told you or who was in the store. Because I remember we had a bunch of people just yelling their opinions here.
That's Stephen and Sarah Valdez, owners of Sarah's Market in East Los Angeles. People were yelling about the election in 2020, they say, because last year in the presidential election, there was far greater outreach to the state's Latino voters. But this time, in the recall?
Honestly, I don't think anybody has come in and said anything about it, actually. And I think that goes back to just, you know, I don't think people are aware on how important this might be or this is. And I don't think they're aware of the reason why it's happening.
Latinos make up almost 40% of the population of California. They are almost 30% of the state's registered voters. They absolutely shape California. So one would think that the recall campaigns might put special effort into turning out such a potentially influential group. But Sarah and Steven say things have been pretty quiet in East L.A.
I don't even know if we're having a polling place here. Because we usually do.
There usually is a polling place right down the street at the
Harrison
elementary
so
school. But even then, I still haven't heard anything whether or not there is going to be a polling place there.
So what's going on?
Whatever election is going on, these candidates, I think, need to actually make their presence here. Like, if we're going to talk about the Latino votes, I don't ever remember having any too much of
They go to downtown, Venice.
Like, yeah, it's cool, like spot. Venice, you
the
know, downtown. Spot. I feel that people around here do feel like, what about us? Like, we get left out. You know, they don't care about us, or we're just like on the back end. And I think that's where maybe some of the, you know, the beginning of the problems lie.
Yeah, but that's the city. That's like the city. There's no funds for us. There's nothing for us out here.
That's Stephen and Sarah Valdez in East L.A. And today on the show, we're going to put a spotlight on California's Latino voters being taken for granted again, and what lessons the gubernatorial recall in California might have for next year's national midterm elections. And we'll begin with Mindy Romero. She's founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the University of Southern California. She joins us from Sacramento. Mindy Romero, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start with kind of a numbers question for you. Two scale questions, okay, Mindy? So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being almost nothing and 10 being an all-out push, how much would you say the recall campaigns have been reaching out to the state's Latino voters?
Well, of course, I'm not in every community, but I would say it's definitely less as some of the people that you just had on your show, right? The video, the audio, it's less than what we would see in, for instance, last November's general election or any type of statewide, you know, normal election. There's only one thing on the ballot, that is this recall. There's only one set of players that are actually doing outreach and mobilization. Far fewer. You don't have a lot of initiatives and a lot of different kinds of races, different kind of candidates. So, you know, we expected, unfortunately, that there would be a lot less mobilization. It was really up to Newsom and the Republican candidates to try to make up that ground. And I think it's clear we haven't seen that. How much exactly has gotten into every community? That's debatable. And all sides debate it. But it's not what we would normally expect.
So not what you'd normally expect, even in other just statewide votes, right? Forget presidential election years. This is less than during an election where there were statewide issues on the ballot.
Yeah, I think, again, by definition, you've only got one item on this ballot, right? You've got fewer players. And you've also got the fact that it's an off-cycle election. It's in September. They just set the date a couple of months ago. There's just general voter education. All the sources that normally, aside from candidates and campaigns, like the media, like election officials, like nonpartisan, voter advocacy, community mobilization organizations that normally do this work to tell people, hey, there's an election, it's important. Everybody, you know, wasn't expecting this election. A lot of community groups are out there doing, of course, great work, but there's just fewer resources just going to those efforts, as is logical, right? Because this was an unplanned or just recently planned election.
Okay. Well, I'm also curious about how much then that is playing out in terms of what we know so far. Obviously, this all comes to a head tomorrow. But what we know so far about how many folks in the Latino community have already returned their ballots, because I'm looking here at some numbers from 2018. I mean, in that gubernatorial election, Gavin Newsom really relied on California's Latino community to propel him to victory. He got about 2/3 of the votes from California's Latinos there, according to exit polls. And as of about a week ago, so these numbers are a few days out of date that I've got, but as of about a week ago, according to Political Data Incorporated, a Sacramento-based research group, they said that only 18% of all registered Latino voters had mailed in their recall ballots, compared with 32% of white voters. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and actually, as of yesterday, those numbers are still 18%. So, of course, there's more ballots that have been cast. We're at about 35% of all vote-by-mail ballots. And of course, in this election, every registered voter got a vote-by-mail ballot in the mail. It's their choice to how they want to turn it in or whether they just want to vote in person. But we have over 1/3 of all voters already casting their ballot, and 18% still are Latino. In comparison, the most recent general election, in November, the presidential election, Latinos were 24% of all voters. Of course, that was the highest percent that we've ever seen, in part driven over the last couple of decades by certainly the growth in the Latino community. 18% may be more than a lot of people would have expected at this point, because when turnout's lower in an election, typically the Latino vote can be a smaller percentage of all voters. But so far at 18%, that's pretty, of course, you want to see more representation, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you said, there are 30% of registered voters. To be equally represented, you should ultimately be 30% of registered voters. But 18% thus far, and Latinos do tend to vote more in person than other groups. They still, in last November, overwhelmingly, like everybody else, used vote by mail in that election, just to be clear. But compared to other groups, they vote in person more. And so Latinos maybe have an outside representation in the in-person vote, which is still just coming in, and the election day vote. So likely they're going to increase that 18% and maybe get over 20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a really important factor to take into consideration here. But is it fair to say, though, that because of those very numbers that we're talking about in terms of, the Latino community being 40% of California, period, right? And then 30% of all registered voters, that here is, an internally diverse group of Americans who could potentially strongly shape almost any vote that happens in the state of California.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're right on the money there. Any statewide race, any issue or candidate that is not aggressively, strategically courting the Latino vote is going to do so at their own peril. Not everybody gets that message and does that aggressive outreach in any election. When they do it, they don't always do it right or sincerely, and sometimes it falls flat. So let's just be clear about that. But the bottom line is Latinos are always in this state a significant force to be reckoned with, a significant force of all voters casting, whether it's a high turnout election or a low turnout election. In this race, they will be a significant part of the story. The only question is, how significant? Will they, you know, increase that percentage that we just talked about? Will they be 20, 21, 22, 23? They'll be underrepresented. And a lot of that underrepresentation, the reason they're not, you know, 30% of all voters casting a ballot, it's because of the lack of mobilization and outreach that doesn't happen, right? That they don't get. But despite of all of that, and again, that happens in every election, that they are under-courted, under-mobilized. But despite of that, they're still a significant force of the electorate.
Okay, so let's focus on the Newsom campaign here for a second. What is going on then in terms of what seems like a less than totally vigorous outreach by the campaign to California's Latino voters? I mean, I'm still thinking what Stephen and Sarah Valdez told us a little bit earlier at the start of the show, that usually there's a polling place right down the street from them in East LA, and they don't even know if there's going to be a polling place there tomorrow.
Well, and part of that, by the way, just to say, there has been a change in how we conduct elections in California for this statewide recall election. So some counties, or actually all counties, were allowed to have a choice in terms of opting in to a system where they would have fewer vote centers. They'd be open, available to actually anybody that's registered. You can go to any one. They're open longer, which is really convenient as opposed to just election day. But they would be, there'd be fewer of them. So it could very well be possible that there actually isn't a polling place down the street from them where they usually see one, just to be clear. And that's hopefully the thing is they're supposed to get that message, right? Okay. And get that information.
Well, Mindy Romero, stand by here for just a second because I asked you a pretty big question there. We're going to keep digging into it when we come back from the break. We're talking this hour about Latino voters in California and the influence they could have on the gubernatorial recall election there, which all comes to a head tomorrow, and what lessons that might have for the nationwide midterms in 2020. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and today we are talking about the California gubernatorial recall election, which comes to a head tomorrow, and specifically focusing on the enormous influence, potential influence of California's Latino voters, not just on the future of California Governor Gavin Newsom, but on what that might indicate for the 2022 midterms as well. I'm joined today by Mindy Romero. She's founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the University of Southern California. She joins us today from Sacramento, as I said. And if you happen to be online or Twitter or Facebook, we're at On Point Radio. Hop on over there and let us know what you think about whether campaigns, whether they be Democratic, Independent, or Republican, whether they take Latino voters for granted. If you're listening in California, definitely want to know what you think about how the campaigns around the recall vote have been going. Again, we're at On Point Radio. Now, Mindy, we were talking just before the break about focusing on Newsom's campaign here for a little bit. And again, given the importance of the state's Latino voters in his 2018 gubernatorial win, do you get the sense that his campaign to fight off the recall has been putting enough effort into reaching out to those same voters again?
Well, of course, the Newsom campaign will tell you they are. But we're hearing, you know, from a lot of different places around the state that you know, just as you mentioned at the outset, that a lot of people are saying they're not hearing very much from the campaign, from not only Newsom, but also the replacement candidates. You know, I think a lot of factors are going on there or are happening kind of all at once. The fact that we've had a shortened election cycle, the fact, again, we're off cycle, people are don't know about the election. So there's an extra hurdle to kind of like just even tell people, hey, did you know there's an election? Convince people that it actually matters. They should be paying attention to it. And that there are high stakes for that. And I think where Newsom has certainly made efforts to connect to the Latino community, in this compressed time period and with all the challenges around trying to get people's attention on this kind of, again, off cycle, unusual election, he really needed to make, you know, an outsized effort, particularly with the Latino community, to get their attention, to make the case for why it's important, right? Why pull themselves away from what they're doing in their daily lives to not only follow this election, but to actually convince them that their individual vote matters. And, you know, he clearly hasn't done that with enough Latinos. And the bottom line is that we know Latinos are going to be underrepresented in this election. We know there's going to be an opportunity loss. There is in every election because, again, in any given election, Latinos aren't getting all of the outreach that they could. There are, you know, lots of data that tells us over the years in any given election that Latinos are less likely to be mobilized and contacted and asked to vote, even registered Latinos. That's happening in this election, and it's a missed opportunity. And I'll tell you why. One reason why it's a missed opportunity is that Newsom certainly needs every vote, even with his comfortable lead in the polls right now. He doesn't just want to win. He doesn't want to just defeat this recall. He wants to do it as handily as possible. He wants it for the margin to be as wide as possible. He wants to say that this was a mistake. It was an illegitimate election. Look, he ran away with it. You know, it was never going to really ever be close. And he needs, certainly Latinos need to be represented in this important race, no matter how they vote. But since we're talking about Newsom, he needs to make the case that he was handily saved by as many votes as possible, and certainly the Latino community, for future elections, for his reelection, for the future of other elections in the state for the Democratic Party and nationally, to show that he has the support of the Latino Party. And it's an open question, in terms of his strategic approach, you know, how well he has done that, but it doesn't look like he has done enough as he could have or should have. Let's put it that way.
So Thomas Science, the president of the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, goes even several steps further. He's been quoted as saying part of the reason why Governor Newsom has been threatened in the polls, especially in that mid-August time frame, right, is that, quote, that the Latino community has not been motivated by his policies and practices, and he has utterly failed to address the Latino community and acknowledge its importance in the state. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that voice is incredibly important in the Latino community, right? And we know that in this election, where COVID is a huge part, right, of the decision around whether he should be recalled or not, the Latino community has been hit hard, the hardest in terms of sheer numbers, in terms of cases and deaths. Hit very hard in terms of the economic downturn that happened with COVID. Let's also make sure we put it out there, right? Make it clear to everyone that Latinos are not a monolithic group, and they're not a monolithic group in California.
Yes.
Yeah, they skew heavily Democratic. That loyalty or connection to the Democratic Party does not necessarily mean a close relationship with this governor. And he has had issues with the Latino Party, with many different Latino communities in terms of really making a strong connection. And then when you're faced with the kind of perfect storm that this governor has faced, he needed to do much more, right, to be able to really reassure and show the Latino community and communities across the state that he has their back, that he's there, that he can make improve the quality of lives or protect them. And we're hearing from many Latinos across the state that that case hasn't been made. So we just have to remember, not a monolithic group, and it's not a given that Latinos are going to vote Democratic. The polls are showing us that within the Latino community, they support Newsom more than whites, for instance. So we want to also be clear about that. But I think certainly we're also hearing that there are many Latinos that don't support Newsom, and the case hasn't been made for them, right, to do so yet at this late date.
Yeah, no, that's an extraordinarily important point, and the reason why we wanted to spend an hour really talking about this and understanding it, because nothing should be a given with any community as internally diverse as the Latino community, right? And yet it seems as if the Democrats continue to behave rather broadly as if it is a given that Latino voters will swing their way, which is not. I mean, it's not true. We saw that in the 2020 election, presidential election, in terms of how much some of the shift was towards President Trump in counties that voted more Democratic previously in 2016. But Mindy, let me just ask you: this is really, really important to talk about more about how COVID is both a driver and having an impact, a driver for the recall and having an impact on how people might vote. Can you talk to me a little bit more about Governor Newsom's handling of COVID and how that has played out in the Latino community?
Yeah, again, just to kind of think big picture with the polls, you know, most, depending on the poll you're looking at, but still an overwhelming majority of Californians are saying that they approve of Gavin Newsom. Of course, that goes along party lines. Certainly the supporter around the recall is strictly down party lines. Democrats overwhelmingly supporting him, Republicans not. Latinos are more likely than whites to say that, actually, in the recent PPIC poll, Public Policy Institute of California, to say that the state is moving in the right direction. So that's important to note. But when you ask what is the most important issue, Latinos are more, a greater proportion of Latinos in that poll said COVID is the number one concern that they have going forward in the state. COVID has disproportionately impacted the Latino community, period. And when you have an economic downturn, we know historically, this is the case now and it has always been the case, that not only does the Latino community get hit harder, but when you are coming out of it, right, and we hear a lot of talk of how the state is recovering, the Latino community can often be the last, right, or one of the last groups to recover from that and have long-term impacts from that. And many Latinos have lost family members, right, been ill themselves. And I think when you're talking about a recall, again, I think there's party registration, there's party loyalty, and then some of that, right, is very different when you're talking about an individual, you know, if you have been impacted. For some Latinos, again, the polls are still showing support for Newsom overall, but for some Latinos, if you've been intimately impacted by all of this, you know, the buck stops ultimately at who is running the state. And if you look to see that leader and you're looking for empathy and you're looking for connection and you're looking for trust in what they're doing, that leader, Newsom in this case, right, has the back of the Latino community, I think for some Latinos, that isn't there. And let's be honest, let's just step back a moment. The governor is known, I think, at this point, for a while now, not having the best ability to be able to connect with voters, period. So he has a good approval ratings, has long had them even through COVID for the most part. But we also know that, like, just connecting with voters, period, and in a personal way, in a likable way, he's had some difficulty in doing that. And I think within the Latino community, even more so at times. And he's really relied on, the last thing I'll say here, if I may, he's really relied on his connections with organizations that serve the Latino community or represent the Latino community, as many elected officials do. You want to connect with those groups, right? So they're out there doing the work right on the ground. And in this case, with the recall, helping to mobilize and motivate and sharing the message and so forth. But not all Latino groups that represent the Latino community have had a close tie with the governor. And they've had concerns about its policies or asked for more, wanted more, pushed back against, certainly during COVID. Feeling like, you know, there wasn't enough attention paid, enough resources, most importantly paid. So, you know, that also can be a factor in all of this when those organizations that would be out there, those trusted messengers connecting with the Latino community are themselves underrepresented because they weren't expecting to be working in a recall election. And maybe they don't have as close ties to the governor. Of course, again, his campaign would say that he has many close ties, but probably maybe not as many as we would expect in a Democratic blue state.
Well, on that point, let's go directly to someone who does work for a group just like you're describing, Mindy. Luis Sanchez joins us from Los Angeles. Luis is executive director of Power California, an organizing group working to mobilize young voters of color. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So have you been contacted by the Newsom campaign, by the Elder campaign, by anyone in terms of trying to assist you in turning out the vote for the recall election?
I mean, we're actually running as part of a larger coalition called Million Voters Project. We've been around. And the reason we actually exist is because we understand we're not going to depend on parties to really mobilize voters of color, Latino voters, and immigrant voters. We've built an infrastructure because talking and mobilizing Latino voters takes not just 2 weeks before an election, but it requires ongoing conversation. So our coalition historically has worked to mobilize these voters, turn them out, register them. And what we're seeing that this election matters more than ever before. But sadly, we also understand, you know, given what Dr. Romero spoke to, is that this is an off-cycle, off-year election. And, you know, Latinos in particular, as was mentioned before, are facing the brunt of the pandemic, of the economic job loss. They're facing, you know, even, you know, when we're making calls right now, we're actually running a humongous program as Power California Action in the Central Valley, knocking on doors, making phone calls in places like Fresno and Merced. And, you know, every night there's at least 2 to 3 people when we make calls, they're actually at the hospital because of COVID, right? You know, we're seeing the biggest, impact right now actually happening in the Central Valley, right? There. And so I think for us, you know, we've actually pushed the Newsom campaign because we are against the recall to make sure that they invested in these communities. You can't just, expect the polls. And I think initially the Newsom campaign thought they were going to win, right? The initial polls, looked good, right? But then fire season took up, the reopening of schools. And I think, you know, the numbers showed that Latinos were essentially 50-50 on the recall. And finally, the campaign said, okay, we need to invest resources, right? And we were already running a large program, you know, and they had to double down on this.
You know, I just can't help it. Does it not strike you as, I don't know what the right word is, Luis, taking voters for granted that this only when the polls start tightening again in the over the summer that the Newsom campaign thinks, oh, maybe we ought to pay attention to young voters of color, to Latino voters in particular. I mean, it's the most cynical approach to a campaign, and yet it feels like that's what you're describing still.
I mean, I agree, right? I mean, it's the historic narrative of voters of color, right? It's the historic narrative that's happened with Black voters in the Democratic Party, you know, Latino voters in the Southwest, right? Is that they come late, the resources come late. But that's why we created institutions and organizations like the Million Voters Project and Power California Action, because we're not going to depend on the party apparatus, right? And then more importantly, and you know, Dr. Morris kind of spoke to this, not only has this election happened at the last minute, the date was set. The rules are very different. You know, one of the things we're hearing on the phones from Latino and young voters is they're telling us, well, if I don't make it this time, I'll vote in the runoff, right? And we have to let them know this is a one-shot deal. And so one of the couple things that's important as part of this conversation, just to continue to add to Dr. Romero's piece, is that one is not only are Latino voters, about a little over 6 million of the registered voters in California, over almost 60% of them, 3.5 million are under the age of 30, right? So by and large, they're a young populace, right? And then people under 30 who are Latino voters, close to 60% of them are actually registered to Klein Estate, which means they don't have a party preference. It doesn't, they actually vote much more progressively, and their values are probably much more aligned with the Democratic Party, right? As evidenced by their 66% support for Newsom when he first ran in 2018. And with the now the PPIC poll is showing 66% support of being against the recall. But I think part of it is that the work that needs to happen can't happen late, you know?
Yeah.
Young voters and Latino voters need multiple touches to be engaged in an election.
Well, look, let me just jump in here because in the New York Times, Nathan Click, who's a spokesman for Gavin Newsom's campaign, told the New York Times that the governor's strategy in reaching out to Latino voters had, quote, been essentially unchanged, right? That all along, they say, the campaign has viewed young Latinos in particular as essential but difficult to reach. We've got about 30 seconds before the next break, Luis, but what's your response to that?
Yeah, they're difficult to reach. Doesn't mean you actually don't build a strategy, right? And that's what Power California we're doing, right? We're going to the deep enclaves and some of the most conservative regions of the state, inland California, Central Valley. Because we understand that these young Latino voters, when you actually have a real conversation with them about what's at stake in this election, they will actually turn out because their families have a collective history of what the state has done against Latinos 25 years ago. And they've also faced the reality of the last four years of Trump.
Well, you're talking about Prop 187 there. We'll come back from the break and discuss a little bit more about the impact, the ongoing impact of that. So Luis Sanchez and Mindy Romero, stand by. We'll be back. This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. I just want to give you a heads up about tomorrow's show because we're going to be talking with Native American investigative journalist Rebecca Nagel about a story she started digging into regarding a child custody battle between a Native American child's family and a white couple in Texas. And as she investigated that, she discovered really the dark underbelly of the nation's adoption industry when it comes to Native American children. So we also want to hear from you if this is a story that's touched you. Are you a Native American and were adopted? How did that go? What impact did that have on you? Or have you adopted a Native American child? And did that adoption happen through a private foster attorney? So we want to hear stories of Native children and adoption. Call us at 617-353-0683. That's 617-353-0683. That is for tomorrow's show. Today, we're taking a close look at California's Latino voters and the influence they could have on the gubernatorial recall election that's coming to a head tomorrow, deciding the fate of California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom. I'm joined today by Mindy Romero. She's founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the University of Southern California. She's with us from Sacramento. And Luis Sanchez joins us. He's executive director of Power California, an organizing group working to mobilize young voters of color in the Golden State, and he's with us from Los Angeles. And we've said a couple of times this hour that, of course, there's no such thing as a quote-unquote typical Latino voter. I talk about them as a bloc, but it's a very diverse group of voters. And in fact, former California State Senator Gloria Romero is a California voter who is supporting the recall of Gavin Newsom.
I was just tired of the false narrative that was put forward that this is a right-wing conspiracy. There were 1.7 million Californians that signed that recall petition. I was one of them. So I wanted to publicly assert that this is widespread. Democrats, independents, green, Republican, across the board. And the second major reason, really, that I decided to endorse, especially Larry Elder, was that I was tired of the rules for thee but not for me attitude of the prince of the French laundry who shut down our public schools, but then he sent his kids to school.
That's former California State Senator Gloria Romero. Luis Sanchez, can I just ask you what the impact of Newsom's decisions for Californians and then his private personal behavior, as Gloria Romero pointed out there, where she called him the prince of the French laundry, referring to Newsom's decision to appear to go to a party at the famed California restaurant, not wear a mask, you know, as he had shut the state down, essentially. How has that reverberated amongst the voters you're reaching out to?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dr. Moreau mentioned this earlier. You know, he's not the, you know, he has his own contradictions, right? But I think for most Latino voters, you know, they're not trying to make this about if they like Gavin or not. It's really about what's at stake in this election, right? And there's really two different Californians for me. One is, you know, are we going to support undocumented Americans? You know, for example, as much as I wanted Gavin Newsom to do more for undocumented Latino, he's actually, you know, part of the reason the recall started gaining momentum, it was not only the mask mandate, but it was also the money that was given to support in the stimulus efforts, because undocumented Americans in California did not benefit from stimulus here in California, even though they make up a grand majority of the farm workers, the essential workers that are kind of saving our lives in this moment. And so I really believe that there's two Californians that are at stake, you know, and, you know, and I think for Latino voters, you know, they're disappointed by many politicians, right? And Gavin Newsom sometimes is only a part of it, that live in these contradictions. But they also understand that, you know, what's at stake in this moment is they're not going to go 20 years backwards in a state that once was xenophobic and was trying to drive them out of their state with the passage of Prop 187. They don't want to go back to just a year ago when they played a critical role in dumping President Trump out of office. So I think part of that is, you could make this a personality conversation about who Gavin Newsom is and, you know, how he lives this life. Or you could really talk about the alternative is terrible. It's Elder. And we already know it's his history, you know, around women, around Latinos, around immigrants, right? And that's not going to change. And, you know, as much as we're not always happy with Gavin Newsom, you know, the alternative is non-negotiable.
Well, but let me just push you on this a little bit, Luis. I mean, in the reading that we've been doing to prepare for this hour, I have seen quotes from, for example, Latino small business owners, right? Who did look at A, how hard they were getting hit by COVID, them, their family members, their children, their communities. B, they saw Newsom take the steps to shut the state down, which that in and of itself was laudable, not a problem. But then how he goes and, you know, to Mindy Romero's point and say, talking about the French laundry, that sort of lack of connection there, that difference in behavior does matter to them, because I think it has something to do with, again, how much is California's current Democratic governor showing not just through his actions, but through how he's reaching out to people, that he's actually caring about them, that he's on their sides, that he recognizes their challenges.
I mean, we have a lot of politicians that have faults and there's a long history in California of many disappointing politicians, from Los Angeles mayor all the way up to the governor's office, that have done many mistakes in their lives, right? And I'm not here to protect his decisions, but what I do understand as a Latino voter, as someone who actually has kids in public schools here in Los Angeles Unified, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, we have to look at what's large and what's at stake in this election. Right. It's not to be focused on personality conflicts. You know, do I like Gavin Newsom? Probably not as a person. But I also understand that his policy decisions are going to be 10 times better than the alternative, which is Elder. And I think for most Latino voters, and you saw that, you've seen the polls change and shift, right? You know, 4 weeks ago, Latinos were iffy, right? And partly it was driven by a personality conversation. Do they really like Elder? I mean, do they really like Elder? Do they like Gavin, right? But as the story and what was at stake in this election started taking place and real conversations started happening, right? And, you know, it's a really hard thing to be a Latino in California. You know, I live in ground zero of the COVID crisis, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I live in East Los Angeles, right? I was born and raised here. I understand the full impact. You know, New York Times was writing articles about, our funeral homes and how they couldn't handle the amount of people that were passing away. Over 2/3 of folks actually got COVID. Most of them were essential workers or shuttered from the restaurant industry. So I know full well the impact. My kids were out of school for almost, feels like a year, yeah, a year plus, right? But I also understand that, you know, it's not enough to politicize all these tough decisions that had to be made, right? You know, one of the things, I hear Gloria Romero's comment, right? So on the East Side, when a parent poll was done, the place that was most historically impacted by COVID, right? You know, I mentioned over 2/3 of folks that we know were actually got COVID, the amount of folks that passed away, you know, over 80% of parents did not want to send their kids back to public school, because they understood fully that COVID was running rampant in their neighborhoods, mm-hmm, right? So, you know, we have to both, yes, there's like this talking political moment around like, yes, they shutter these public schools, but even the families who probably were impacted the most by their schools being shuttered, who were dependent on public schools, did not feel safe sending their kids back in the midst because there wasn't any vaccines yet, right? So this is just a reality. That's why at my kids' school, I sent my kids back early last year, right? In April, of last year, back to LAUSD. My kid only had 5 kids in his class, a class that was meant to have 30 kids, you know? So I just think that's a reality. It's very easy to kind of do these political talking points, but yeah, we have to really live in the real reality of what parents and Latino families are saying locally.
Well, so let me turn back to Mindy Romero. And I appreciate you listening along with us, Mindy, but a few minutes ago, Luis mentioned something important, and that was the long-term impact of Prop 187, right, from the mid-90s in California, and that was the voter referendum that would have barred undocumented immigrants in the state of California from receiving almost every public service, right? And it was heavily supported by California's Republicans, and it's one of those forces that has seemed to push many Latino voters towards voting Democratic, but that was what, almost 30 years ago now. And so is there no longer can be assumed that same natural affinity between California Latinos and the Democratic Party, because many, as Luis was saying, many of the young Latino voters today, haven't lived in that California.
Absolutely. Although I would say that
Mindy Romero?
I don't know if that's ever really been there. So prior to 187, Latinos were more Democratic than Republican, but it was more evenly split. It wasn't so skewed in terms of the registration proportion as we see now. 187 was a watershed moment, and it really built a network of Latinos that decided to get involved in politics. It became leaders within the state, within the Latino community and throughout the state, that really pushed Latino involvement in politics and Latino power right throughout the state and representation. There's been a lot of concern in the last decade that as that generation kind of got older, there wasn't a generation behind them, right, that could take up that mantle and continue to do the work in the same kind of, motivated from the same kind of source, right? And then Donald Trump came along, and Donald Trump and the narrative nationally and, of course, what also landed here in California, I think helped kind of reaffirm for many Latinos that negative association, not for all, because, again, not a monolithic group, but for many Latinos reaffirmed that kind of association, negative association with the Republican Party. So I think that's present. But absolutely, Luis is right, that young voters, right, are not as connected to the Latino, to the Democratic Party, that there's actually an opportunity for any political party to court them, even though they are more progressive, but they're more complicated too. But I do want to just be real. I think the last number of years with Trump and the narrative there, the narrative that's come out from many California-based Republicans hasn't done a whole lot to kind of change, to bring Latinos closer in mass numbers within the state to the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And that's still a reality. The narrative, the rhetoric, all of that is just present and embedded in our politics.
Okay. So just so that I have my facts straight, in this recall vote, voters received ballots in the mail. Is that every California voter?
Every registered voter in California automatically received a vote by mail ballot. Yes.
And so they could either submit that or go to a polling place in person.
And in case we got a lot of California voters, or voters, I'm sure, right, listeners. So to be clear, they can mail that. They can drop it off at a designated drop box. They can drop it off at a polling place or vote center, or they can also vote in person.
Okay.
Without that ballot.
Okay. So with that fact in mind, Luis, let me just turn back to you here. So when you're doing voter outreach around the recall, if people already have the ballots in hand, what are they telling you about why they haven't submitted them yet or why they may sit this out? What's stopping them, essentially? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to build off the point that Dr. Merrill mentioned earlier, we know that for Latino voters and young Latino voters, you know, like I mentioned before, almost 60% of them are under the age of 30. A poll that we conducted last year, 53% of them, which is, you know, this is on the 2020 presidential, because this very similar electoral system is in play right now, you know, want to either drop off their ballot if they've actually filled it out, or they want to vote in person on election day, right? So we know that they're going to vote later. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's important to do is that you can't compare this election to last year's presidential. I think the closest comparison is either a midterm election or last year's primary. So last year, Latino turnout was 22.9% in the primary. And so right now, 23% of Latinos have actually turned in their ballots. So in many ways, they're in, you know, actually above that number, right? So I think it has a lot to do with the changes in some of the voting systems. You know, we played a critical role, as long as other leaders like Dr. Romero, in kind of changing the rules in the state so that it's easier to vote in person. Everyone gets to vote by mail ballot. And what was a pandemic policy shift has now become California's way of doing elections. So mm-hmm. we really feel, from what we're hearing from Latino voters, is as they get the information, they understand the rules of the game, and they understand that this is a one-shot deal, they're more willing to move and send their ballot, right? But like I mentioned, most Latinos were not paying attention, probably because of their current reality of what they were facing in this moment, how hard it's been. But the other thing is, they just didn't understand the rules of this election.
I think...
Yeah.
Yeah. As you mentioned, they thought that there might be a runoff that they could vote mm-hmm. in. Okay. So we've just got about a minute and a half left. And Mindy, I'm going to just allow you to help us wrap up here, because I can't help but to underscore how important these voters are in the state of California, mm-hmm. because as I'm seeing, there are more Latino voters in California than the entire population of the state of Arizona. So that's a lot of folks that could potentially be very influential. So what impact do you think, or what lessons are there for what's coming up next year for those midterms in 2022? What could this recall election, what information could it give us?
Sure. Well, generally, or more generally, let's be clear that this recall election is going to have an impact regardless of the outcome in our state and nationally for 2022 and probably beyond that. So there's been a narrative that's been set by proponents of the recall and Republicans that, you know, nationally, that Democrats, of course, in their talking points, are mismanaging their, you know, bad policies, bad for voters, and being able to use California as the ultimate example. Look, in that deep blue state, they kicked out, or they're about to kick out, or they almost kicked out after the election. If the recall effort does fail, that they almost kicked out their Democratic governor in a deep blue state. Mm. That has ramifications, right, in terms of fueling other recalls, in terms of fueling efforts in the 2020 many midterms, including the very competitive races that we have here. We have a handful of competitive congressional races. But in terms of the Latino community,
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We just have 10 seconds left, so I'm going to have to just wrap it up there. But I'm hearing you say that either way, that it's going to have an impact nationwide. So Mindy Romero and Luis Sanchez, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.